Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, March 22nd, 2024 episode of KASB's The Advocate Podcast. This is Leah Fleiter. As always, I'm joined by Shannon Kimball and Alec Madrigal on this episode. We have a lot to talk about, so we'll just get right into it. We had a great day in Topeka on Thursday for KASB's Day at the Capitol. We were joined by school board members and superintendents from across the state, large districts, small districts, urban, rural. It was a great turnout, great representation from our member school districts visiting the State House to advocate for Kansas public schools. I appreciate all of those folks taking time out of their personal and professional schedules to join us in Topeka. And I really want to give a special shout out to some special education directors who also prioritized joining us for some of our advocacy activities. Shannon, you spent a lot of time with our folks yesterday as well. You want to give people a little flavor of what happened at KASB's Day at the Capitol yesterday?
You bet. So it was great to see some faces that we know well and some new faces yesterday. We had some really great conversations about the priorities that we've been talking about all session, fully funding special education, making sure that people understand just how damaging vouchers and voucher-like proposals would be to our public schools in Kansas. And we had an opportunity to really take those messages to the members of the House and Senate with our local board members and superintendents who were able to share personal stories with our legislators about how the work that they are doing or not doing in the State House is really impacting our students, our staff, and our families in our local communities. So really appreciate everybody who came yesterday and keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks, Shannon. It was a great day and it was a busy day, but days like that always remind me of how proud I am to work for KASB and to work for the school board members of Kansas and to work with Shannon and our staff at KASB too. It was a great day. You know, our priority issue actually yesterday was indeed special education funding. We were visiting with members of the House about their K-12 education budget and SPED funding bill that's due to be debated on the House floor this coming Tuesday. The name of that bill is House Sub for Senate Bill 387. On the face of it, it seems like a good bill. It appropriates, you know, the about $500 million that the state needs every year to fund general education classroom funding. And it seems to add at least $75 million in additional funding for special education. Well, you know, like I said, on its face, that sounds great, right? But there's a catch. And some of you folks who follow us on this podcast or on our social media platforms know that unfortunately, House Sub for Senate Bill 387 actually does not fully fund SPED. What it does is it counts, and I'm using my infamous air quotes when I say that, it counts local tax dollars as state special ed funding and forces school boards to spend that local tax money on special ed. This maneuver, you know, it diverts local taxes from other district priorities, and really it's forcing the local property taxpayers to foot the bill for the state's refusal or inability to fund special education at the level that they need to be doing to best serve all Kansas kids, whether they be special education kids or general ed kids. Another way you could look at this, Shannon, really is, you know, someone said to us yesterday, this is stealing local property tax dollars. And to say that the state is funding special ed, I thought that was a really smart comment by that person. Didn't you think, Shannon? It was like a light bulb went on.
Totally agree. The legislature just needs to understand that those local tax dollars are not supposed to be counted as state funding. That's not part of their obligation to provide adequate or equitable funding to our public schools.
Yeah, can you review for folks, Shannon, what could our local schools do if the legislature were to actually fully fund SPED from state coffers?
We've had lots of conversations with our members about this, and there are so many things that districts could do to benefit our students if they weren't having to backfill special education funding. We've talked about how the size of that backfill is much larger than most people realized. $423 million last year. That's an enormous amount of money that districts are taking away from general education services for all students, including our special education students. And if they didn't have to do that, our local schools would be able to pay our teachers and our paraprofessionals and other support staff competitive wages. Teachers' salaries are at least 25% lower than other professionals with similar degrees and credentials. We could close that gap. We could ensure that we are paying our support staff wages that are competitive in our local markets. Right now, many of these excellent employees can leave our districts and go make more money working at the local Walmart or the Target or the McDonald's than what districts can afford to pay them to do these really, really important jobs with our students. If special ed were fully funded, we could have smaller class sizes across all of our schools. That's something that sometimes gets thrown at us about in the voucher conversation as well. Parents should be able to choose to go to schools with private schools with smaller class sizes. Well, we want to be able to do that in our public schools too, and we could if we had this funding that
That's a great
has not been
point.
provided. And maybe, just maybe, we could reach a place where we don't hear the stories on social media and otherwise all the time about teachers who are spending hundreds of dollars out of their pockets every year to provide essential classroom materials or even snacks for their students who are coming to school hungry and don't have anything else to eat. So, these are all things that should be in the minds of our legislators when they are thinking about why this is such an important thing for them to do.
Yeah. And another thing that we really haven't touched on as much in the last week, Shannon, that people really need to key in on is that this bill also ties school districts' hands on how they can serve at-risk kids, sets us up to lose at-risk funding, and really sets up a tracking system for at-risk kids without parental consent. It's the bill really, it's a shell game, not only with the SPED funding, but also it purports to set up this system in which kids are tracked without parental consent, tracking the data on how they perform over 4 years. And then if and when those students don't meet some predetermined goals, that district's future SPED funding is either cut or eliminated. It's I think if you're a school person and you're listening to this, you'll really key in on this. You're supposed to track those kids in that in a cohort group over the course of about 4 years, and these are kids who are at risk for whatever reason. Well, I think a lot of us know that you are not going to have the same number of kids in an at-risk group from year to year, and you're not going to have the same types of kids, because kids drop in and out of at-risk categories often. And so you're not going to be able to get good data when you're tracking a cohort over 4 years, because the cohort is going to change, if not weekly, month to month, right, Shannon? And so it almost seems as if this is a plan to set districts up to fail and to then cut the at-risk funding that is so critical for us to serve our most vulnerable students.
Absolutely. And I think another thing this bill does that is just so wrong is that it would take away decision making about the appropriate interventions for the student in the classroom level. It would take those decisions away from our professional educators. And that is just not that's not what the legislature should be doing in terms of dictating what intervention a teacher can choose for your child in the classroom if it meets that child's need.
Yeah. And so not only does this House bill that's supposed to be voted on Tuesday not fund special education, it hurts our most vulnerable at-risk students. And so KASB is urging members of the Kansas House of Representatives to reject House Sub for Senate Bill 387 and instead support a clean funding bill that pays for general education and special education and does not hurt at-risk kids. So, as if that bill wasn't enough, we're also, of course, fighting Senate Bill 509 in the Senate. That is the voucher bill that was passed out of the Senate Tax Committee recently. Just to review quickly with our listeners, Senate Bill 509 sets up an income tax credit that would divert tax revenue from the state coffers and away from public schools and instead send that tax revenue to private schools, including homeschools. Sometimes people ask me, how does an income tax credit voucher, how does that hurt public schools? What does that have to do with anything? Well, let's just briefly review that the three sources of income for the state of Kansas to fund critical services such as schools, cities, counties, roads are, again, there's kind of a three-legged stool, we call it, income tax, property tax, and sales tax. And so an income tax voucher peels off income tax revenue from the state coffers and instead gives it to private schools. And Senate Bill 509 would cost the state more than $200 million in by at the end of 3 years, and it would funnel that money to private schools and homeschools with no accountability, no guardrails on how that money is spent. There is no requirement for homeschools or private schools to submit any kind of receipts for what they're spending that money on. They might be using them for legit educational purposes, but there's no guarantee, there's no guardrails that there won't be fraudulent spending as well. You know, we have seen rampant voucher fraud in other states, Shannon, including Arizona, Florida, Iowa, where people might use vouchers to set up a school in a strip mall, or they take the voucher money and they don't even really intend to do anything with it. Weren't you telling us yesterday about a school? What state was it where they can't even track down that the school even exists?
That was in North Carolina.
That's right.
Millions and millions of dollars going to schools on their list that don't apparently have a physical location, and they can't track down the money or the students. It's very concerning.
Another thing we need to keep in mind is that in many states, 70 to 90% of these vouchers are being used by families who already attend usually a pretty high-end private school. And so essentially what happens is every taxpayer in the state is subsidizing wealthy families' private school tuition. I think Kansans are opposed to that, and we need folks to keep communicating with your senators this weekend. That bill, Senate Bill 509, is scheduled to hit the floor next week, and make sure and tell your senator that you are against public taxes for private schools. Now, Shannon, those are our have been our two priority issues this week, but there was another bill that was approved for the Senate this week that we need to touch base with our folks on. Can you give us a rundown on that?
Thanks, Leah. So Senate Bill 427 was passed out of the Senate Education Committee this week. This is a bill that targets local school boards for meeting requirements that are not required of any other elected public body in the state of Kansas. It essentially sets up a system that would allow minority control of school board meetings. I'm sorry, but Kansans do not want or need the legislature to invite DC-style politics into our local Board of Education meetings. Even more concerning, the bill would allow intrusions on the privacy protections that are in place for good reasons for our students by permitting any local board member to be present in any school space at any time for any reason if there is any school employee in the building. Both of these are terrible policies And they go much further than the dark money lobbyists who propose this legislation have acknowledged in their testimony. I'll use an example to show how absurd this is. Imagine if Congress passed a law that ordered our state legislators that they must allow anything to be put up for a vote on the floor of the House or the Senate, or any bill to be brought up in a committee at any time that a single member of the legislature wishes. And also, any member of the legislature could go into any state-owned building at any time that any state employee is present without any restrictions. See how absurd that sounds? Well, that's exactly what this bill, Senate Bill 427, does to local school boards and local districts. At a time when we have so many really serious issues to address at the state level and in our local districts, including the special education funding shortfall and the threats to public schools from voucher proposals, for example, we really don't need this kind of divisive DC style politics legislation that will make it even harder for our local districts to serve their students and to operate our high quality Kansas schools.
Thanks, Shannon. That was a great review of Senate Bill 427. It was written by dark money lobbyists. I guess they want to, my advice to people in that sector is, hey, if you want to run school districts to that level, why don't you just, run for school board? If you're that interested, just go ahead and run for school board. Secondly, I think our friends in the city and county governments need to keep an eye on this bill as well, because there's, they're going after school boards this session. Whose meetings are they going to try to micromanage next? Is it going to be the county commission? Is it going to be the city commission? Is it going to be, the health, the local health board? This is not just about attacking school boards. That's what it is this year. They're coming for the rest of you, local government friends, and just be aware of Senate Bill 427. We urge a no vote next week in the Senate should it come to the floor. Well, I think we've talked about quite a lot. We need to give folks some time to prepare themselves for legislative coffees this weekend, Shannon. This is going to be a key weekend. I know legislators will be seeking your input as they head for a solid week of floor votes. There will be no committing meetings this coming week. It will be floor votes only. So this is your chance to contact your senator, contact your member of the House, urge them to vote against Senate Bill 509, the voucher bill, and against House Sub for Senate Bill 387, the special ed funding and at-risk funding bill. Shannon, anything else you think we should add for our listeners before we sign off for the weekend?
We appreciate you all and look forward to talking to you next week.
That's right. Have a great weekend, everyone.